feel all right now.
Hey, I feel all right now.
Do you feel like I do right now?
Do you feel like I do right now?
Motivated.
Motivated.
Sky high.
Sky high.
Rock steady.
Rock steady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to the Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast, anytime, anywhere.
All right, folks, welcome back to another installment of the Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast. As always, I'm Lex. Now, I asked this question multiple times throughout the development of this podcast. You know, what do you guys want to hear? One of the things that apparently is pretty huge is the SAW, the Squad Automatic Weapon. The coveted SAW, or Squad Automatic Weapon, at one point in time was the Airsoft Enthusiast Dreams. I know it was mine. I mean, I saved up to get the first one on the market. It was an ANK M249. To own and operate one on the field held many indications. First off, it meant you had a rather large wallet. SAWs at the time were made by Classic Army, Top, and other high-end airsoft companies, and with those names came a hefty price. $1,000 or more. To field a SAW was a major step into the airsoft world. Secondly, the way you operated on the field with and against a SAW completely changed. How, you ask? Well, it was just a fully automatic airsoft gun. Most M4s can do that. Well, of course your M4 can, or your G36 with a drum magazine, or any other weapons platform you decided to use. What makes the SAW so much different than the others? The simple fact it's a SAW. It's a squad automatic weapon. Whether you're fielding an M249, an M60, an RPK, the first sight of that weapon pulled out of your weapons case is going to strike fear and awe into people's minds and hearts. You have it in your hand, the ability to realistically and tactically take out a whole squad by the pull of your trigger. No, I said realistically. It's a psychological advantage the SAW has over the other weapons platforms in Airsoft. It's an actually fully automatic weapon designed to fire with a drum magazine, whereas other systems, they aren't. Now let's look at the strategic and tactics use of the SAW. Having a SAW on your team is going to, as it already says, stated, dramatically change how your team and you, as an airsoft operator, move and respond on the airsoft field. Many misconceptions abound as to how you should use the SAW. With the introduction of the lower cost SAWs on the market, you're going to see a huge amount of tactical and strategic diversion and diverse attitudes on how to use a SAW. So with that, how do you use the SAW? By definition, the squad automatic weapon is to be used as a direct suppression weapon system. What is direct suppression? Simply put, you put rounds on target to suppress the enemy while your squad or team moves to engage. Something for those of you who have ever fired a real steel full automatic weapon, recoil and muzzle climb have become a huge factor. In airsoft, it's hardly an issue. The SAW, the best technique for firing at a target, is the same as a real steel variant, 3 to 5 round bursts. Gaining the ability to control the trigger of a SAW will extremely enhance your ability to deploy the weapon. One of the largest factors that face SAW gunners and those who play against them is the overwhelming desire to squeeze that trigger and hold it and spray and pray. That's just wrong. You're wasting rounds, you're giving away your position, and you're not doing any good for you or your team. 3 to 5 round bursts allow you to adjust your fire on the fly, moving from target to target. And Airsoft has already stated you don't have the recoil issue to deal with. What this does is allow you to effectively and continuously place those 3 to 5 round bursts on target. The largest mistake made by new SAW gunners is to pull the trigger and hold it down tactically and realistically. This is wrong. You'll find yourself often shunned on the field by other players as it is unsafe, but it also puts a lot of wear and tear on your SAW. So remember, rule of thumb, 3 to 5 round bursts. Deployment of the SAW. Now that we've discussed firing of a SAW system, let's look into its deployment. This is the hugest factor. I mean, anybody can shoot a SAW. Deploying it is a completely different matter. Now, everyone has seen the Hollywood movies, Rambo, Predator, Swordfish, etc. In those movies, you have the hero or villain, as it were, pulling out a large SAW weapon system, a man-portable Gatling gun, M60, M249, and just opening up with it and mowing down the attackers. Wow, it's awesome entertainment, but it's just that, entertainment. Deploying a SAW system is more than about brains than brawn. It's a support system, not an M16 rifle on point or a grenadier. A whole reason is to for the SAW system is to suppress. Suppression is an art form of tactics, strategy, cover, and concealment. SAW systems should be deployed in such a way that you have a very clean fire line, a steady platform, and a good cover. Hip firing of the SAW system is often extremely frowned upon, but it's capable of being done. SAW gunners in almost every military around the world are taught three major positions to shoot their SAW systems in: standing, kneeling, and prone. Standing. So when you're deploying in the standing position, the SAW gunner will raise the weapon and place it securely into the shoulder, grasping the pistol grip in the firing hand while holding the handguard firmly in the off hand, sighting down the iron sights and firing 3 to 5 round bursts. This position is good for quick firing engagement with moving to a more stable position and better cover. SAW systems are often so heavy that constant engagement in the standing position will cause extreme fatigue. And a secondary method of standing, if you have to continuously engage in this position, is to move the SAW from the firing position in the shoulder to the ready position, where the barrel points at the ground while still holding the weapon into your shoulder. Bring it to bear on target, firing, then returning the system to the ready position. So basically it's up shooting, down to the ground. Kneeling is often the most common method of firing the SAW system, and I've seen an increase in games actually requiring you to stop and take a knee or go into prone to fire a SAW system. You can't actually run and gun anymore, which in my mind is actually a good thing. Kneeling is often the most common, as I said. Simply put, you will assume the position of fire as is in the standing position, but drop down on either knee, supporting the weight of the weapon in your arms as you're on your raised knee. This position is more stable than the standing due to the more body-to-body contact of your arms to your knees. It also provides a SAW gunner the ability to fire from a lower profile than the standing position. Kneeling position is often seen and used in conjunction of areas that have low-to-the-ground cover, such as fence, walls, shrubs, lines, etc. Now going into the prone position is by far the more stable position. It's also the best covered position. One of the major factors that sets a SAW system apart from other weapon systems is the drum magazine and capability of firing at full auto on a built-in tripod. Deploy the SAW system in the prone position. First, you will deploy the bipod. Most 249 SAWs, it's as simple as reaching up to the forward handguards, pushing the metal bipod together and letting them flip out. The M60 is much the same way, as is the RPK. Each bipod is located pretty much in the same location. Once your bipod is deployed, set the SAW system down close to the level of ground as possible. Lower your body behind the weapon system, placing the stock of your weapon in your shoulder, resting your cheek on the buttstock. Grasp the pistol grip, pulling back on the weapon so it's seated tight in your shoulder. Your free hand will reach up and rest on the buttstock slightly forward of where your cheek is, ensuring not to block your sight picture sight alignment. Once this is done, make sure your body is low to the ground as possible. Move your body slightly at 45 degree angle from the weapon, spreading your legs further stability, laying the insoles of your feet to the ground as possible. This position is stated the most stable position of the three. When used in conjunction of prefabricated defensive positions such as bunkers, fighting holes, portholes, and walls, etc., this is a devastating, strong position and extremely safe and secure. So, all of those positions are very fundamental to the SAW, and they're standard for everybody. Now let's look at tactics and strategy for a SAW system. Often I've seen someone pull out a SAW and load it up and walk out into the field and use it like a rifle. Sit there and I watch, shaking my head as the SAW gunner pulls the trigger, spraying an area or a point man going in out in the lead with an M60. Sure, you can put a lot of fire down range, but you're going to be able to sustain point for a long time. When using a SAW system, the first and foremost thing you need to remember and realize is everything you've ever done as a rifleman or a sniper or any other role you've played in, toss it out the window. The mentality of the SAW system gunner is one of support. You're not the hard-charging, fast-gunning assaultman, or the stealth-oriented, long-range, intel-gathering sniper, or the close-quarters, heart-pounding, adrenaline-building, close-quarters combat specialist. You're a SAW gunner. First strategy tactic you need to learn and love is suppression. Suppressing the opponent in airsoft oftentimes can be a taxing and frustrating event. This is due to the fact that if you're hit 30 minutes or less and you're back out on the field, people who participated in the airsoft are often found to take far more risks than they're in the real-world situation. Suppressing with a SAW system is a true art form. Suppressing an enemy with a SAW system, you need to continuously keep your eye moving, scanning for potential threats. Targets, you mean people, right? Yeah, we all know what we're talking about. Well, not always. Suppressing an opponent can be done in many ways. Let's go over a few scenarios. You're moving to a contact and report comes from the point man as the squad is dug in and forward of you. Your squad leader orders you to provide suppressing fire while they move to flank. You set up your position in a good location, good firing lane, good cover and concealment. and find that the enemy squad is dug in with a good defensive bunker made of tree branches, limbs, and hardwood. The opponents have one way of exiting the trench, and that is backwards. Many of the branches still have leaves. So how do you suppress them? In this situation, you immediately start looking for the portholes in the defensive position. Once you've located them, map them out mentally on the command to open fire. If you are the only SAW system in the squad, do not systematically fire at each hole. If you see movement, open fire, and it's just above the hole. You may not have a lucky shot and hit someone, but it's far more nerve-wracking to hear those rounds smacking into the tree branches overhead, leaves falling down on top, etc. Rotate through each hole as you see movement. Rotate your shot placement. Move from shooting over the hole to shooting into the hole and back over. 3 to 5 round bursts. 5 seconds at each time, at each location. If you immediately start taking fire from a hole, then you have your location pinned to return fire. The key is to not worry about if you're actually making hits. And that's the hard part for SAW gunners. Everybody wants to make hits. But if the fire coming at you stops, that means you're doing your job. Suppression. All right, second scenario. You're in a build-up area, houses and cars, suburbs. The opponent is reported free-roaming in and around your patrol route. Then you spot movement to your left, spin and kneel down behind a vehicle. You've made contact with the squad approach of the squad of approach, and opponents immediately open fire, sending them ducking for cover behind multiple vehicles. Unlike the first scenario, this situation is not contained as in one egress route for the opponent. How do you suppress them? The situation is a very difficult one, and one of the many SAW gunners will face no matter how or where you play. The battlefield is a liquid environment, allows flowing and always changing. Immediately upon engaging the opponent, you need to call out contact and pass out information as soon as possible as to their disposition, i.e. locations, how many, etc. Remember distance, direction, and description. Once that is out, start your scanning and start firing as previously stated in the first scenario. 3 to 5 round bursts, 5 second intervals. Largest change is how you now you have metal objects to shoot at as well as glass, etc. Shoot them. Ping those BBs off the objects. Shoot, then move targets. Shoot, move targets. Keep your bursts and continuously adjust your targets. Don't worry about trying to make hits, keeping their heads down. That's the key focus. Rotate your rounds from hitting the vehicles or buildings to firing in open lanes, such as between the vehicles, under the vehicles, and over their heads. Doing this allows your squad to move and gets better firing angles as well as look for flanking positions. The key is suppression in a situation like this is removing as many of the avenues of movement as possible from the opponent while keeping yourself in a secure covered location. Make it impossible for your opponent to move any location that you do not want them to move. This scenario here is really, you can control the battlefield by firing at and around those individuals. You want to drive them in a certain direction, shoot behind them to push them that way. People will move. They don't want to get hit. So if they think you're going to be able to hit them, they're going to move away from that fire. Scenario 3. You set up an ambush. You set up to ambush a superior numerical force. You're in the center position as per your squad's standard operating procedure. Set up to open fire after your squad leader fires. The opponent's squad enters the clearing in a good spacing. Your squad leader fires, hitting one. The opponent's squad responds in good order, immediately getting online and attempting assault through. How do you provide suppression in this situation? This is a situation, yet again, you will often find yourself in as a SAW gunner. The ambush is a tried and true tactic the SAW gunners are highly used in. In this situation, you need to immediately start firing in a 3 to 5 round burst at targets that you see moving. Any opponent that attempts to rush forward, put rounds directly on them. Don't worry about anyone bunkered down. If they are flat on the ground, that means they are less likely to fire at you, and your other squad members can keep them pinned by accurate fire. Every time an opponent moves, fire at them. Swing and scan. Keep your fire to 2-second intervals, especially right after the initial contact is made with the opponent's squad. Increasing your rate of fire can cause the opponent's squad to seek better cover. Go off the orders of your squad leader. The key in all three of these scenarios is the situation with suppression is continuously scanned for targets of opportunity, whether they be opponents or inanimate objects. Oftentimes, the mere sound of a SAW system firing at someone will cause them to hunker down and get better cover. The sounds of your BBs banging off of wood and tin or buildings or vehicles, they are hunkered down behind, often have the same effect. Continuously search for openings to fire into. A BB bouncing off a wall followed by 3 or 4 more seriously hampers a person's ability to not only get a good sight picture to fire at you, but slows their thinking process down. Increasing or decreasing your rate of fire also puts a person into a situation where they have to rapidly think and respond. Let's touch on an increasing and decreasing your rate of fire. Does it matter, you ask? Well, yeah, it actually does. Increasing your rate of fire causes two things in an opponent. Overconfidence. If they hear you firing more rapidly, they confuse this to someone who is inexperienced and easily taken out. Increasing your rate of fire masks the sound of 3 to 5 round bursts, especially in airsoft. So how do you increase the rate of fire? Decreasing the time between bursts. This does not mean you hold the trigger down for longer bursts, but instead fire your 3 to 5 round bursts every 2 seconds rather than 5. What this does is allow you to fire more often and increases the sound and rounds coming down range. Increasing your rate of fire should be done in multiple situations, especially in ambushes, full-on frontal charges by the enemy, or tactical withdrawals, basically any situation where you have multiple targets and clear fire lanes. Confusion. Increasing your rate of fire decreases the amount of time your opponent has to respond to your fire. If you're sending controlled, accurate 3 to 5 round bursts towards your opponent, these rounds are going to start causing them to think of a way to get out of the line of fire. Increasing the firing causes an automatic response of the body to get out of harm's way. Thus increases your opponent's confusion. To many opponents, an increasing of the rate of fire on a SAW system means an immediate attack on their position is to come. So be sure to adjust to keep them on their toes. By simply extending time between your bursts, you can decrease your rate of fire just as easily as you can increase it. Decreasing your rate of fire is far less often used than increasing your rate of fire. Decreasing your rate of fire can be used when you want to keep a pinned down opponent in place for extended periods of time, typically a siege type situation where you're just swapping shots. Decreasing your rate of fire is also used when breaking from an ambush after you're sure the area has been completely suppressed and controlled, and you can slow your fires so as to conserve ammunition. Simple tactics will make your game better. I mean, these are little key things that will make you a better SAW gunner. Communication is a key ingredient in being an excellent SAW gunner. You have to have your continuous communication capabilities with your squad, platoon, and squad leader, platoon commander. Most often than not, the SAW gunner will be directed by the squad leader or platoon commander and will be operating with more than one SAW gunner. Whistles, body taps, hand signals, radio communication are all typical methods of communication between SAW gunner and your squad platoon leader. Ensure that you learn each and every method and is not only familiar but also clearly understood per your team squad operating procedure. If you don't have If you don't have a communications plan, get one. When operating as a SAW gunner, you're often going to be one of the last two gunners in the field. This allows you to be technically called talking guns. Not only is this a fun method of suppressing fire, but when done properly, it's just plain impressive. For the talking gun method, two or more SAW gunners are needed, starting either from center and moving left to right or right to left, or from left to right, down a line or right to left. One gun will shoot a sustained 3 to 5 round burst, and as soon as that gunner has finished the next in line opens up with a 3 to 5 round burst in response, with a continuation from one gunner to the next, providing a sustained amount of fire and sustained amount of noise. If done properly, even with two SAW systems, this method can cause an attacking opponent to think they're facing far more weapons, troops than actually are. Direction of fire, i.e. moving from right to left down the line, or starting center and moving out, is predetermined and multiple ways have established the different signals to watch. So, basically what you have is we have three SAW gunners. We're going to start left to right. First SAW gunner, bup-bup-bup-bup, bup-bup-bup-bup. That's the second SAW gunner. And the third SAW gunner, as soon as that second one fires, and that last little sound goes off, the third one's firing. Bub, 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 bub. And then it starts all over again, going from the left-hand side. Now, if you start from center and you go left, then right, so it's going to be center, bub, 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 left, bub, 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 right, bub, 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 back to center, bub, 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 bub. And it's just going to rotate like that. And what this allows you to do is you're going to have continuous fire with three systems, extend the amount of ammunition you have out there, less wear and tear on your guns, but it sounds like a continuous fire from multiple systems all over the place. It's really impressive if you can get it done right. So now let's talk about reloading a moment. In airsoft with a SAW system, most SAW drum magazines hold anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 BBs. A good SAW gunner can almost 8-hour period with 2,400 drum magazine. Even in a heavy firefight situation, you should still have plenty of ammunition left over. For those situations where you do not run out of ammunition, communication comes back into play. Or where you're running out of ammo, communication comes into play. Tell your team that you're out of ammo. Two things should happen. You should start reloading, and two, your team immediately increases the rate of fire to compensate for the loss of your saw until you're able to reload. Now, it's really hard to talk about saws and ammunition conservation, because most events I've seen saw gunners literally, like one firefight, dump a whole drum magazine. That's ludicrously insane amount of BBs going downrange for the amount of activity that's going on in that firefight. You may be facing one or two guys, and you're dumping 2,000 rounds down at them. That's just amazingly insane. You don't need to do that. 3 to 5 round burst. Everything works. Now, we covered a lot of information in a short period of time, but there's something we must do. Let's look at the don'ts of airsoft saw gunners. 1. Don't run and gun. You lose your suppression factor and accuracy. Stop, get a position, and fire. This is a key point. Like I said earlier, a lot of event hosts are now making it standard where if you're a saw gunner, you have to stop, take a knee, shoot, and then get up and move. 2. Don't treat the saw system as an M16, sniper rifle, etc. It's a suppression machine gun. Nothing more, nothing less. 3. Don't Rambo. Shooting from the hip can be done, but only when you can't get a good stable position and not for a long extended period of times. 4. Full auto does not mean hold the trigger until you run out of BBs, 3 to 5 round bursts. 5. Do not ever stop communicating. Communication will keep you on target. Shoot. If you're not shooting, you're communicating. If you're not communicating, you're reloading, you're removing. And it's important with a saw gunner to communicate, because the rest of the squad should be calling out targets for suppression. You're scanning and looking, you're calling out targets, but the rest of the squad should be calling out targets as well. So if you're suppressing a target and you know you got them suppressed, you can shift to another target. And all of a sudden, somebody on the left-hand side goes, I've got one up. You can shift left, suppress that target. That's the key thing about communication. 6. Just because you are a saw gunner does not make you a one-man army. You are there to support your team, not lead it. 7. The saw is not about hits. It's about support and teamwork. So, in closing, the simple sentence holds true with all saw gunners. I will support my team with superior, accurate, suppressive fire and make a lot of noise doing it. The saw system is not only about high rate of fire, but psychologically, visually, and auditory impact. It's a weapon system that, when deployed and utilized properly, can often cause an opponent to think twice before even engaging a unit. What we've gone over here is just the tip of the iceberg in conducting yourself as a saw gunner. Having a saw system in your squad or team will dramatically change your style of play, and those who you face on the other side of the field will be in the same situation, but only if you use it properly. For more information on how being a capable and effective saw gunner, get your hands on any U.S. military infantry's manual to gain a better understanding of the deployment and duty responsibilities of a saw gunner. Or drop me a line anytime. You guys know how to get a hold of me. Hit me up on Facebook, whatever the case is. So that's, in a nutshell, an effective use of the saw. And what I mean by saw, let's go over the weapon systems real quick, because a lot of people get confused about that. The saw does not mean just the 249 M249 squad automatic weapon. That is the most iconic weapon system out there to date, but you have multiple different weapon systems that can be used as a squad automatic weapon. You have the M240 Bravo or Golf, which is a medium machine gun. It's actually meant to be mounted on vehicles, but I've seen them used as squad automatic weapons. You have basically you've got three types of machine guns. Let's go over that real quick. You've got a light machine gun, which is an LMG. You've got a medium machine gun, and then you have the heavy machine guns. Now, the light machine guns are typically what you are classified as saws. They consist of the M249 squad automatic weapon. They consist of the RPK. You have G36 variants with heavy barrels. You have L86 variants with heavy barrels and extended magazines. A lot of the other different older weapon systems are out there, you know, World War II weapon systems. The BAR is classified as a light automatic machine gun, Browning automatic rifle. Those are all your kind of standard. Your mediums, like I said, they're 249. The M60 is a medium machine gun. It's actually classified. It can be classified as a light machine gun, but it was actually classified as a medium machine gun. And then your heavies, of course, everybody knows the heavy, the 50 caliber machine gun. So those are the different styles of machine guns you typically have at your disposal. And one of the key things and the key factors is a lot of people go, well, like, I have an MP5. It goes full auto. That should be, well, no, it's not a, that's not a squad automatic weapon. An M4 with a drum magazine is not a squad automatic weapon. Now, there's, the Marine Corps is now transferring over to a new squad automatic weapon system, and I believe it's called the IAR. And it looks like an M16, and it uses magazines. Now, a lot of event host producers have been asked, can I use an IAR system? And a lot of them are saying no, and I agree with them on this fact. Part of the reason they want you to use an actual 249, an M60, an RPK, whatever the case is because they have a very distinct look. And an airsoft, that's the key factor that you're looking for, is those rolls have that distinct look so that it's easier for event host coordinators, the staff on the field, if you have a rule set that says only semi-automatic fire and you're hearing full auto fire, you walk over and you see a guy with what looks like an M16, it can get really confusing on the field. So that's why they're asking you to play with that M249, the 240, the RPK, the PKM, those types of weapon system, which, by the way, PKM is actually a medium machine gun. I brain farted that one. So that's why they want you to have those weapon systems that look the way they do. It's not that they don't, they know completely well that the IAR system and all those others are actually squad automatic weapons, but they don't fit, they don't work in the rule set. So that's why that's that in the case. So I hope this information helps. I hope you got a good insight into a lot of things. I mean, it's a lot of information in a short period of time, but it's a lot of good information. All of this information I actually compiled. I wrote an article some time ago for USOC magazine is where this information came from. So it's information that I've had for a while. I've updated it as time's gone on. But one of the key factors is it really, a lot of it doesn't change over time. It's standard information. And it's very effective. I mean, if you honestly run your saw that way and you have two saws in a squad, you have two fire teams, two saws in a squad, and they start doing talking guns, it's just amazing. It works really well, it'll suppress the enemy, and it's effective. Whereas, if you just spray and pray, you're not as effective. And the best way to find this out is actually go out and try this stuff out on the field. So with that, upcoming events wise for me, we've got JTEC's Red Scorpion coming up in September. End of August, Milsim West at Guernsey. I will be at Milsim West at Guernsey, so if you're going to be there, look me up. It's going to be a good time. Really, really excited about the Milsim West game. I've got some stuff developing, and I'm going to throw this out here. So I've been toying around with an idea. And I've been hosting airsoft events for a long, long time. I'm talking since I played airsoft, because when I first started playing airsoft, there wasn't a lot of event hosts that are around. You had John Liu, who was, you know, he's been around since forever. And he was one of the only major national level events. And getting to those events was a really time-consuming, really expensive, you know, thing for an individual airsofter. And I'm coming to find myself moving back into the line of where I'm considering hosting my own events again. So I'm going to have some stuff popping up here in the near far future. So, and I'm going to be asking for some input from players. So if you're interested in that, I might, if you want to throw me a message, I might throw you some information. We'll see how that goes. Again, the Milsim Airsoft Tactical Training School, I can't even remember what I was calling it at the time. It's been one of those weeks. it's going to happen again in May of next year. I'm looking at one a year. I am, in conjunction with that, what I am also looking to do is a best milsim contest. The basically the premises of it is going to be something along the lines of like the Ranger Challenge and squads, Super Squad Challenge for the Marine Corps, things of those nature. It'll be a team event. It'll probably be a two-person team event. You'll sign up. There will be a small fee. And you'll sign up for it, and you will be tasked. You will be tested. You will have to use land navigation. You will have to use tactical knowledge. Your field craft. You know, and there'll be a time frame that you have to get all this stuff done in. And you'll go out there, and you're going to do what you can do. And it's not going to be like most. It's not going to be just a run up to a target, shoot the target, and move. This is going to be very milsim, very field craft oriented, very in depth in the aspect of it's going to be less about airsoft and more about military simulations. So look for that in the near far future. I'm working that up right now. I will actually be looking for sponsors. If anybody would like to sponsor prizes or be involved in this, drop me a line. Outside of that, that's kind of the latest and greatest. I still have BB's Not Bullies patches available. I think I have a handful or so still left, so if you're looking for one of those, hit up the store or drop me a line in a PM. I can get you set up with that. But with that, I'm going to call it quits. So be safe, be honorable, and I will see you out on the field.
Remember the four rules of gun safety. Always treat your gun as if it were loaded. Keep your fingers straight and off the trigger until you intend to fire. Do not point your airsoft gun at anything you do not intend to shoot. Know your target and what's behind it. Always wear full C-LAP protection, rated to ANSI Z81.7 standards. Keep your airsoft guns in a case or bag until you are on the field. Only conduct your airsoft activities on approved fields, or on private land with owner's written consent, or public lands with consent of local law enforcement. The Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast is not liable for any criminal action, injury, harm or damage caused by any person or persons utilizing the information presented. Be safe, be honorable and have fun. Questions or comments, find us on Facebook under Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast.